Sometimes, when reading a passage in the Bible, I come across a single word that catches me off guard. It may feel very old-fashioned, or it may feel the opposite, strangely of our own time and place. In today's gospel, we are told that Jesus, as he moved about the crowds, felt compassion because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Harassed. It's a translation of a Greek word that, when taken literally, means skinned or flayed. But it is often used metaphorically in Scripture, sometimes translated as wearied or troubled. Harassed and helpless. Harassed and tossed about. Sheep without a shepherd, left to wander and fend for themselves in a fraught landscape, replete with dangers and uncertainties. There are days when I feel like that. Days when there seems to be an accumulation of too many hard things in one space. The problem in someone else's life that I wish I could solve because it is causing them so much distress. The expensive speeding ticket received in the mail. The news of a mass shooting. A politician saying something laced with hate and contempt. The gas tank that is almost empty on a day when I'm already running late. And some fresh proof of institutionalized racism or sexism and its very real impact on people who bear the image of God. Days when I flop on the couch as soon as I get home and wonder, how long can I just lay here under a blanket? When would they come looking for me? Could I possibly make it to the end of the month, just lying here with my eyes closed and not moving? And in Palestine, at the time of Jesus, there were people dealing with their own cocktail of exhaustion. Illnesses without cures. Roman oppression. Economic exploitation. Early childhood morbidity. The cousin with demon possession. Or was it mental illness? The religious bully down the street. The taxes on one's produce that severely limited one's profit. Racism and sexism justified by societal habits and religious teachings. It is meaningful to me that Jesus saw all this, saw this and felt compassion, saw the things that harass and leave people feeling helpless. There are times in the Gospels when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," and demonstrates his capacity to guide, care for, and tend to the sheep. But this is not what he does here in this reading. He does not announce, "I see that you are wiped out and feeling defeated. You need a shepherd, and guess what? I'm the one you need." Already, he has been healing the sick, teaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven. But now he turns to his disciples and says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord to send out laborers into his harvest." Helping the harassed and the helpless is going to require engaging a community of people who see it as their work to do. A community of people who hold sufficient hope in order to act in unexpected ways in service to others, others they do not even know. It is interesting that Jesus uses the word harvest. It's such a hopeful word to be using in the face of exhaustion and exasperation that is around him. If we have come across the language of harvesting souls for Jesus, in our past religious affiliations, we might feel some discomfort here, and that may color our reading of this text. I don't think his words are about harvesting people, about increasing membership in a synagogue or a church. Jesus is offering an unexpected metaphor of hope. The hordes of the harassed and helpless aren't actually the dried and brittle weeds that they may feel themselves to be. These people, beset with so many challenges, are actually fruit-bearing trees. But who will see that? Who will recognize what these people really are and treat them as such? Who will see them not as someone to exploit, but as people with gifts to express, people to be liberated from within, people invited to see themselves through the eyes of a God who loves and cherishes them? Jesus wants more for them because he is convinced that they are far more than their circumstances and their society allows them to see. They feel harassed and helpless, but they are fruit-bearing trees with roots that stretch right into the soil of the ever-living God. Who will help them to know this and to live this? And Jesus turns to 12 people, a collection of fishermen, a tax collector, a political extremist, and someone who will sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. He treats this group like fruit-bearing trees and sends them out to do unexpected and unbelievable things. And he reminds them that they have received something of healing and liberation themselves, so they should go out and make this available to others and not for their own gain. You received without payment, Jesus says. Give without payment. He tells them to focus now on the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to avoid Samaritan and Gentile towns. But we know that by the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the disciples are being sent by Jesus to all the people and all nations. It was important to Matthew, when writing this Gospel, to emphasize Jesus' Jewish identity and to show the ways in which he was a fulfillment of the prophecies given to Israel. And in his commissioning of the disciples, we hear echoes of today's reading from Exodus. In that passage, God calls the people to be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. But as later prophets would reveal, that priestly function wasn't for their own glory and distinction. They were being called on behalf of the whole world to function metaphorically as priests on behalf of all nations. Therefore, when Jesus sends the disciples out initially to the house of Israel, he is asking them to awaken in Israel a sense of calling. It seems he is deputizing them to say to others, "You received the ancient stories that will now help you understand what God is doing in the world at this moment in time. Come, Israel, enter this new kingdom of grace. See the promise that it holds and become ready to offer grace and healing to others." This sending of the disciples to the house of Israel is the first stage. After encounters with a Canaanite woman and the woman at the well, Jesus will then expand the scope of invitation. In fact, when the disciples rejoin Jesus at the well in Samaria, where he has talked with a woman and seen her go out and gather her community to drink the living water she has just experienced, Jesus says to the disciples, "Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." I think he's saying, "Look at all the fruit-bearing trees here, here where you never thought to look for them. These Samaritans are blossoming with hope and understanding right before our eyes. It is time to respond to this reality." We read this passage during a church season dedicated to considering the work of the Holy Spirit within the body of the church. The experience and call upon the disciples is extended to us as well. We know what it is to feel harassed and helpless. And church can be a place that helps shape us with the stories that help us to see what God is doing in our midst. Help us to see that we are not only harassed and helpless, but also fruit-bearing trees rooted in the ever-living God. Even on days when all we may see are broken limbs on the ground after a storm. But then, like the disciples, we are called to look up and out and recognize that the harvest is plentiful, that all around us are other fruit-bearing trees, and we are meant to join Christ in his work of liberation and grace. We are invited to do the unexpected and the unbelievable, to bear hope in the midst of circumstances that might drive us to cynicism and despair. We are called to do things that seem to go against our own interests in order to seek justice on behalf of others, and so doing to become more free ourselves. I say this with full awareness of the realities of violence and hatred at work in the world. Days ago, a Ugandan school was attacked by violent warlords who wounded and killed children and teachers and carried some of the boys off to become soldiers. In Colombia this past week, a group of children were rescued after spending 20 days alone in the jungle. They had fled from being recruited by a violent armed group. Closer to home, we have hate crimes. In our own communities, right in this area, there have been threats to LGBTQ youth and property destroyed by those putting up pride flags. And tomorrow is Juneteenth, which commemorates the freeing of the last enslaved peoples a full 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. It's a holiday that mingles celebration with deep grief over the past and the continuing aftermath of brutal slavery. Christianity is not a numbing agent in the face of these realities. It is a call to join Jesus in loving mercy and doing justice, to risk suffering and discomfort in order to alleviate the suffering of others. Where does our compassion move us to action? How do we honor this call to align ourselves with the harassed and the helpless, the fruit-bearing trees beset by those who would cut them down?